Welcome to LOA Today. I'm Walt Thiessen. With me today is psychic and life coach Rita Giganti. This is your daily dose of happy. We are so happy you decided to join us today. It's a very special day because we've got guests here today. In addition to Rita being back here on the show, we have Kathy Mason joining us today. I got to know Kathy yesterday because I was on her podcast. This is a very cool lady, let me tell you. Very cool lady. And quite a background, too, which we're going to get to because, she's worked with some pretty cool people, Rita. I mean, you're going to say... This is cool. But it's great to have you back. It's been a few months since you've been here.
Yes, so thank you for sitting
in today. That's been great.
Sure.
Debbie G will be back next week. She's traveling today and I guess she's in the middle of getting the magazine out that she produces. So she's got a few things going, which Kathy knows a little bit about because she's involved in that same project.
Yeah, I'm doing a lot of the magazine.
Are you doing a lot of it? Okay. Well, yeah. All right. So there you go. That simple. Yeah. Yep. But we're just glad that you took the time to talk with us today and let us get to know you. I actually have something to share first before we get into the conversation. So let me get to that because I noticed, I've seen a few of these. I'm sure you guys have seen these too online. People complaining about, I'm having trouble letting go of stuff and can people give me ideas on how to do it and so forth. And I got this idea of how to explain it. So I ended up writing an ode, a poem about how to do it. And I wanted to read my ode to you. So I call this Ode to Letting Go of a Rock.
Okay.
I was holding a rock and I wanted to learn how to let go of things. So I reached down and put the rock on the ground and then I walked away. I felt lighter. After all, the rock was a little heavy. But the moment I put it down, it felt like I lost 5 to 10 pounds. I walked away from the rock and I gave it no further thought. Now, here's what I did not do with the rock after I put it down. I didn't miss it. I didn't wonder if I had done the right thing. I didn't second guess myself. I didn't feel guilty about it. I didn't throw the rock at someone else. I just put it down and walked away. I didn't keep dwelling on the rock in my mind. I didn't wonder what might have happened if I had continued to hold on to the rock. I didn't talk about the rock with my friends. I didn't tell them that I had put my rock down, but somehow the rock continued to prey on my mind. I didn't worry about whether the rock would be cold and lonely tonight. I didn't worry about whether the rock had sufficient food to eat. I didn't argue with the rock about why I was leaving it behind. I didn't threaten the rock. I didn't plead with the rock. I didn't blame the rock. I didn't get pissed at the rock. I didn't try to reconcile with the rock. I didn't ask the rock for a reference. I didn't suggest to the rock that it might be happier in someone else's hands. I didn't keep replaying in my mind how it had felt just before I put down the rock. I didn't call my psychic to find out if I should put the rock down. I didn't check the rock's horoscope. I didn't meditate first before putting down the rock. I didn't look for a sign from the universe assuring me that it would be a good idea to put down the rock. I didn't wonder if putting down the rock would enable me to get my dream home. I didn't focus on retaining a memory of how the rock felt when it was in my hands. I didn't curse the rock for hitting my foot because, well, it didn't hit my foot. I didn't wish I had invited the rock over for dinner first before putting it down and walking away. And I walked away forever. I walked away with a full and complete intention that I never wanted to set my eyes on that rock again. I didn't hate the rock. I was just done with it. I actually lost interest in the rock. I stopped paying any attention to the rock at all. And when I finally did that, when I finally stopped giving any attention at all to the rock, attention of any kind, I found that I truly let go of the rock. I had finally let go of the rock and left it behind me. This gave me what I really wanted most. I was free. And in that newfound freedom, I celebrated my freedom. And as I celebrated my freedom, I also realized something. It had never occurred to me to wonder what the rock wanted. The rock just wanted to remain where it had been all this time in its rockiness. So it was all working out for the best. Rocks are made from source energy, just like you and I are. We are all one, even as we are all individual and unique. So the rock and I will always be connected, and I don't have to do anything to make that happen. I don't even have to maintain my emotional attachments to that rock as I might previously have done, because the connection will always remain. This doesn't mean that the rock must continue to be part of my everyday life. Far from it. It just means that letting go of it was pretty darn cool. Ode to letting go of a rock.
That's awesome, Walt.
post that with this so we can see it again. It's perfect.
I enjoyed writing it too. It was a lot of fun. So anyway, now that we've got the ode to letting go of a rock, put down, I put the rock down, I let it behind and it's gone. Let's reintroduce the person we're getting to know here, Kathy Mason, who has a fascinating background. You have worked with some people that our audience will know once you tell who they are. So, I mean, talk about some of the people that you've worked with over the years. You've worked with some pretty cool people.
Oh, yeah. Well, I've been working with change agents, authors, and amazing businesses that are here to leave the world a better place and do cool stuff through my business for 21 years. This is my 21st year. So over that time, I've gotten to work with Don Miguel Ruiz, with Neil Donald Walsh, with Greg Braden, with Sharon Rose, with who else would you know? Barbara Marks Hubbard, Humanities team. I did their marketing plan. I could just keep going. It's boring.
That's cool, actually. That's a great list.
Well, you know, and I've gotten to make friends with a lot of the Hay House authors over the past, and it's mostly because they were the early guard. They got to see the path to our enlightenment, our awakening, which is what we're doing right now. Mm-hmm. And some of them used science. Some of them were just brave enough to say what they saw. So they're guides. Mm-hmm. So I really enjoyed it. A lot of times I was behind the scenes. No one ever saw me or just doing all the work. Sometimes I was up front for Humanities team with Neil Donald Walsh. I went to Greece and I was the program for the whole organization to meet. And then the next year I went to Portugal for them. And they're still using the plan that we did like 10 years ago, 8 years ago, or something like that. So that feels good. So yeah, that was a very interesting project. I'm psychic and intuitive, and I see timelines for people. And so doing an organization is different than, well, a company can do that too, but a large organization, their email list is like 70,000 people. It's amazing. Yeah. So what was interesting is I used the same format that I use with everyone to do their plans that opens up the records and opens up the viewpoint. And I actually did that, but English wasn't these people's first language. And I found myself, it was fascinating. It was fascinating trying to explain or get the concepts from people that English wasn't their first language, get a unifying principle. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of energy work with it too. So anyway, that was fascinating. I mean, I had a lot of experience doing the plan, but never like that in a good sense. So, but I've done plans like that with people that were all blue collar, in fact. And one company down in Denver, we took the company from 150,000 to 1 million in a year.
Whew.
And they didn't even quite know what I was doing.
I love it.
So sometimes I had to kind of hide what I was doing. It's okay.
That's all right. That's cool. And Rita's especially grinning because she was also associated with Hay House for a bit. So you guys have a connection there.
Oh, but, yeah.
Yeah.
Back in 2012. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Well, I've had a lot of wonderful experiences with the people I know that have published with Hay House. I really love a lot of them. I'm still really good friends with a bunch of them. Mm-hmm. So, I have good things. And then supposedly Louise Hay and the other side sometimes talks to me, but I haven't really tuned in. I mean, somebody's called me and said, could you please hook up and talk to her? She's driving me nuts. I don't want to tell you who said that, but I don't know if it didn't resonate when they said that. I was like,
she was getting a busy signal. That was the problem.
You know what? You have to really know and trust that you sense and your intuition's right. And then I also then use this. That's my backup. Because if I can't really tell that my body goes, that's in the flow, that feels good, versus, you know, sometimes when it's a stretch, you might get a little bit of pushback, but most of the time, you know when you're aligned with people, or you can see that they're angelic and they don't know it.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of fun too.
Okay. That's cool.
Yeah.
And when we were talking yesterday on your show, you alluded to something about the way you approach your psychic abilities, but go into that in a little more detail, because it's a little different from what many psychics describe for themselves.
Well, okay. So I just started claiming I was psychic and intuitive probably 5-6 years ago. I was like a closet person who just came up with these brilliant ideas. Because there was no need to say where they came from, or that I got them in the shower or whatever. Mm-hmm. But what happened was I've been able to connect with a group of beings that have supported me since I was 8. And I've gone number 4 out of 5, and I quickly learned that no one else saw what I saw and no one else heard what I heard, and I better shut up. I might be on drugs or so I just kept it quiet, but have always seen other things. And probably about, I would say 6 years ago, I met this woman. I was at an event called the Co-Creators Convergence, which I'm very involved with them still. I love these people. Noelle Marshall, Bob Warner. Anyway, make it confusing. Anyway, there's a group on Facebook if you ever want to go see it, Co-Creators Convergence. It's so cool. Anyway, I'm sitting at the very first time I've ever been there. I'm sitting next to somebody and we're in a process. And we look at each other and we burst out crying. Mm-hmm. And it was like just total recognition of soul family. Just like, wow, that is cool. I never had that happen. Anyway, make long story short, she's the one who taught me how to use the Akashic Records. Well, once I took this class, a weekend class, went to San Diego, and it was an accelerated class I think there were 8 of us, and I was amazed because I didn't realize I was already tapping into them. And I didn't have the secure feeling that I would get. It wasn't like, you know, Sylvia Brown and some of these people who go 750 an hour and they can just go and they're in. I didn't have that confidence ever. Mm-hmm. I always felt like, and I still feel like I'm on assignment. Mm-hmm. So I'm not supposed to work with everybody. I just do it the way I'm supposed to, I guess. Mm-hmm. But anyway, she went during this Akashic Records class with my friend's name is Darlis Mays, and she is on Facebook if you want to find her. She's just amazing, magical being. Anyway, we got a prayer. And so I found that was my door opener. That was my safety net that I could always get in the zone. Even if I didn't have enough sleep, even if I drank red wine, whatever, I could use that, and it somehow gave me the comfort to do things more on a more regular basis, because up until then I was sort of letting the divine use me however it showed up. I mean, I might wish to be in it, but I'm not sure I was in my body that much in my 20s. I'm just in my body now. I don't know about you guys, but Rita probably can explain that.
Oh, God. I don't, when I'm in my body, I'm very happy, because when I'm out of my body, sometimes it feels very strange. And, you know, I have to be grounded when I'm out there. Otherwise, you know, you feel like, give me a Xanax, because I'm just flying around here.
Well, I think a lot of the people, especially the Hay House early adopters, they were all, a lot of them, not Michael Beckwith, but a lot of them were talking about ascending and getting out of your body to be more connected to source and your soul. Well, I found that was my way of, it's actually an escape route. I could see all around. I could stay safe. I could tell you what was, I still can tell you what people are talking at a restaurant at each table around me. Because in my field.
Secrets.
Yeah. Well, no, yeah. You don't want to necessarily. A person in front of you thinks you're right there, but your field is big and you're receiving. But I think the gig is embodiment. Mm-hmm. I really think right now we came here we stood in line to get these bodies to be here right now during the biggest change ever. This is the party is going on here.
That's right.
And so being in your body is the whole, not challenge, but the game. Mm-hmm. It's game on.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I agree.
You're not getting any disagreement over there, Kathy. Sorry.
Were you always in your body? I mean, we're on the extra sensory perception side over here. So
for me, I have only had one experience that I would describe as being like an astral projection kind of thing. And it was through a guided meditation that someone led me through many, many years ago. And it was interesting. It was fun. It was just not something I really had any great interest in pursuing. And I suspect that's probably why it hasn't really developed. But other than that, I've been grounded. I've been on the ground continuously.
Well, actually, that's delightful. I think that's part of your delightful charm, really.
It is. Absolutely.
It's who I am. I am who I am. I'm, you know, if you're looking for somebody else, go over there. I mean, it's just not me.
Well, and I think your authentic representation of who you are too is really charming, because I think this also is a time period where people are releasing all of their costumes. That's what I call it. You know, I was a consultant, so I had my consultant outfit on. And I actually have the clothes and everything on, but anyway, I had my consultant outfit on, and then I went and did something else, or then I'm a mom and I have the mom outfit. Mm-hmm. You know, you can play those roles, but this is the time to release all of that.
Yeah.
It's a funny thing too, because for me, dating back to when I was a kid, when I was in junior high school and high school, that era, I mean, I was growing up in the late 60s, early 70s, and that era was about a new kind of freedom. It was about a new kind of understanding about life. And so I just kind of assumed that was the way it was always going to be in my life. I was kind of surprised later on when it turned out that's not where everybody was going, that there was all, you know, all the game playing and all that kind of stuff. It jarred my world, so to speak. So getting to this point, this part's actually easy compared to all of that. That part was the hard part. This is easy. I don't have any trouble with this one because it's exactly what I expected when I was that young.
That's great. Yeah. I think though that you're seeing these new kids that have the superpowers and more of the adults, which is what I guess I call myself, are also activating their superpowers.
Mm-hmm.
And all of us have them. That's the coolest part. And then we can all play together with them. It's so cool.
Yeah.
Well, I think ultimately the biggest superpower we all have is that we're creators.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we are. We are, if you want to use the word God, we're God. We are the ones who create. And because of that, literally the world is our oyster. I mean, we create whatever we want to create. Okay. Now, people sometimes make some pretty weird choices, I have to say. Choices that I would kind of scratch my head and say, okay, you really want to go there? You sure about that? But nevertheless, we are all creators. And I think that's kind of what we're doing in this period that you guys are talking about, this period of, we've often talked, you and I and Linda talked about this a lot, about how we're in this period of vibration rising on, the whole planet is going through this thing right now, and there's fallout that comes from it and so forth. And as I kind of dwell on that, as I think about that, I say to myself, okay, so we're going through it, but why is everybody so worried about it? Well, I think in a lot of cases they're worried just because they don't know what's going on. They aren't, they don't know about the stuff that you guys know, that you guys have taught me. That our listeners know about and so forth. The large chunk of the population just, doesn't have a clue what's going on in that sense. But nevertheless, we came into this world to create, and that's what we're doing. And we're learning what happens when you have a huge number, billions of people all creating from different perspectives with different dreams and desires, often in conflict with each other. And then what do you do about that? How do you handle that? How do you interact with other people, particularly those who are creating stuff that you wouldn't want to touch with a 10-foot pole? That's what we're dealing with right now.
Sure.
So I guess that's where my groundedness really helps, because I just see it for what it is because of the groundedness.
Right. Perfect. That's very helpful.
Yeah. Well, it certainly helps me. Otherwise, I'd probably be crazy by now, but.
Well, so Rita, why don't you share about your perspective on what's happening now? Because this is, it feels like game on to me.
It is. It's definitely, I saw it coming many moons ago. And I remember saying, out loud and to myself, it's like, yeah, this is just the tip of the iceberg. Like when 2012 hit, I was like, no, we're already further in. Like, what is this? 2012. Like, we've gone, and it just steadily, moving faster and faster and faster. I know some people are complaining that it's, the days are flying by, but again, you can slow down the days if you chose to, but in essence, we're being ushered, I think as quickly as possible, or as quickly as our vibration will allow us to get into that place where we can be those beacons of light for others to go, oh, I want some of that. How do I get some of that? And then want to align with that energy. And then it expands and expands and expands. And then that creates the new paradigm of what Earth is going to be eventually. And there has to be X amount of souls that reach that pivotal point. And it doesn't have to be billions of people. Like people think, people think, well, what can I do? I'm just one person. They don't understand the concept that everything you think and everything you do goes out, into the universe. So, the more you know that, the more you connect to your higher self and then other like-minded, but even not like-minded, but just people that maybe just pique their interest. It begins another whole stream of energy. And I think the beautiful piece is watching it unfold, because although it's painful in some ways for some, because people will tend to fight what's not in their normal vicinity, we'll say, right? They don't think it's a normal thing that's occurring. Even that is interesting to watch if you could be a witness to it, not get engaged in it. Cause I have family members that I look at them and I go, oh Lord, mercy. Like I think to myself, and I say, I'm connected to this channeler called Paul. His name is Paul Selig.
Yeah, oh, he's amazing.
Right? So I've been reading his stuff and I'm running around now going, I know who you are. I know what you are. I know how you say. Because I know when I look at them, I'm like, there's no fucking thing I can do here. They're just going to go and go and go. And the only thing I could do is be who I am.
But you chose them. That's the
of
thing.
Of course.
We chose our parents. We chose our relatives. We chose this whole storyline so we could evolve and grow from it, because it's by contrast. So you came in probably with an awareness and then went, they didn't get the same memo.
They did. One is trying. One has got there's reminders, and I could see her trying to grasp it. The other one.
That's cool, though. That's great.
It really is. I've watched the people that I didn't think could gain anything before they left here actually shifted their energy. That was my mother and my father. Mm-hmm. And when I witnessed that, I says, oh, anything is possible. Anything is possible. Because, when someone is so ingrained in their history and in their past, and to be quite honest, I'm working through my own programs that have been,
that's it.
Trying to, hold me back from the freedom that I'm looking for, and I'm like, oh no, this is not in this lifetime.
Can I add something to what you said?
Sure.
That might help. It's my perspective, so take it with a grain of salt if it helps. Great. I feel that, as change agents, I'm just going to call us that rather than lighthouses and all of that.
Right.
I think our job now is to clear as much of our shadow so we can hold, because we're batteries. We're physical batteries, right?
Right.
So we can hold more light. Your light body, which is your field, can expand as far as you want, and you can walk into a room and transmute.
Oh, my God. I've watched it happen.
Right, right. So that's where I think pretty much everyone I know is working through their stuff right now to clear more of the shadow. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what the past year has been about, is the first fear of death at the beginning of the shutdown. Like, oh no, an invisible enemy. And then you go, okay, well, what do I care about? Or what is my legacy? Or, why am I putting up with this? I'm like,
that's true.
All of that. But I think truly, if we all are working on the inner stuff, the outer stuff totally shifts. And that's the world I want to be a part of. That's the whole game I want to play.
Mm-hmm.
I do think we are like computers. I do think I'm in a hologram, and right now all three of us are playing in our respective holograms.
Welcome to the Matrix.
Yeah. Oh,
teach me karate, please. I've been wanting to learn that for years. If I can learn it in 3 minutes, I'll be very happy.
If you went to sleep wanting to do it, you probably could now. There are no veils. There's
right.
No separation from source.
Right.
All of that is allowed to construct
mm-hmm.
doesn't have to be used unless you so choose it. That's what I think I'm calling that, the people that are making choices that I don't understand. They're just in a different hologram.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's a good way to describe it.
Well, it's not for me to judge. They're divine beings too. We're all that.
Right.
So it's not really for me. It's obviously for me to see, for something for me. For me to be the witness, mm-hmm. and for me to have the experience, there's some benefit to me.
Sure.
Now, I have to admit I'm on the same page as LaRonda and Shauna, by the way, because LaRonda said, I want to kick myself in the ass. What the hell was the spirit thinking? And LOL. And then Shauna says, yes, I choose my family, the blueprint, before arriving on this earth experience journey. Now I say, what was I thinking? And the way I've always thought of that is, oh, God, I can't get away with anything. It's the same feeling, right? It's like, we plan this, really? Oh, geez. I'd be like, I need a new travel agent or something.
Can't hear.
You can't hear me?
I can't hear.
Can you hear me?
I hear you. Can you hear?
Arita said she couldn't hear me.
I lost the hearing.
You're not getting anything?
No.
Do you want to go out and come back in? Go out and come back in?
See if we can do anything with the microphone. No? I don't know. Let me leave... let me leave her a chat message. While I'm doing that, actually, there's something I wanted to ask you, Kathy.
Okay.
Because you're one of the first people who've come onto the show who actually has studied Akashic Records. Can you talk about that for a little bit? I'm going to send a little message to Rita.
Sure. Well, just like so many things, like the angels and archangels and all the hierarchies in the unseen worlds, the Akashic Records have been written about. I have like 5 books on this bookshelf back here. Everybody has a different story.
Mm-hmm.
But in essence, what it is, if you think of a giant library and you think it, or you use the computer analogy again, with a hard drive, what you're doing when you're tapping into the Akashic Records, you're tapping into a library of data. And each soul has their own. Now, again, the game here was forgetting. A few beings come in remembering, but not that many. So most people come in really forgetting, and the game is, how much can I remember? And then there's little clues everywhere. So when I tap into that, I didn't intentionally say, I've got to know what's going on here. I just saw these movies. I'm 17 years old and I see somebody do something and I go, don't they know what the outcome was of them doing that? And it's like, no, but I saw a movie. I saw in full color what that action did. And I didn't know that no one else saw that. I didn't know that you don't see your own. Although I guess I should have known that because I didn't see mine. Right. But anyway, so we're talking about the records. As I said, I've got, I think, 5 books back there.
Mm.
And so I'm not a scholar of it. I just use it.
Mm-hmm.
And what I use is the galactic Akashic Records. So I'm not just using Earth. Because a lot of the higher functioning people here are star beings. They're either angelic from higher realms or they're hybrids or they're other beings. Hmm. And so that's why I end up, and I think I was directed to do that because I work with a lot of angels that don't know they're angels.
Hmm.
Kathy, I want a reading from you.
Sure. So we'll figure it out. And I want one for you. But the thing is, again, this is all, you can't mess up here. The hardest part, I think, for humans for this whole trip is trusting everything. Mm. But really, we're so loved. There is no hell. There is no judgment day. There is none of that. We're just dumping all that stuff on ourselves. And really, once you get to the point of everything is in infinite possibilities, it's only your imagination that restricts you. It's amazing what can happen.
Yeah.
I think it's also fair to say people create their own hells. The cool part is they can let themselves out anytime they want to.
Yes, they can.
That's the rock.
Yeah, that's the rock. Exactly. That's the rock you got to leave behind.
Right. Well, but Walt, did that explain enough to you? Because I can give you a lot of suggestions if you want to really learn about the Akashic Records, all the books that I've got. But I think it's like crystals. I really love crystals. I really feel them. I make jewelry and I get a buzz when I'm making the jewelry and everything. I really like them. But you can read 5 different books that'll tell you what pyrite does.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll go, nah, that isn't what I, cause I don't always have words for what I feel or what I know.
Well, what you have is resonance. I mean, that's really what you're talking about. What resonates with you, and whatever resonates with you, that's what you pay more attention to.
Okay. So I'm going to take it up a level. The alchemy that's possible. So we publish books.
Okay.
And we publish programs. We help people start their businesses and do their whole thing, create their platform. We can activate the energy in each one of those things so that it's recognizable.
Mm-hmm.
So that someone can just hold a book and know and get part of the message. So somebody can just open the first class on an 8-part class, online digital class, and get zapped. We can make sure, because of the way the alchemy works now, is you can say that as you clear, all that stuff upgrades too. So it's not like, oh, I did that 4 years ago. It's not any good anymore. we can change it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where, you know, it's almost like when I was talking about Neil Donald Walsh, he wrote those Conversations with God books.
Mm.
If you read them now, they're still going to activate. I mean, even 10 years later.
Oh, yeah.
It's the same thing. We can do that with everything now. It's all your intention.
Mm-hmm.
And especially if it's from the heart, if it's to serve and to create joy, because really that higher frequency is what's going to create the new possibilities.
Right.
That's true. We talked a lot about that yesterday on your show about the power of that higher vibe place and what happens there. It's something that I knew when I first tapped into the idea, when I first got exposed to the idea, that resonated. I mean, talk about something resonates with you and you just latch onto it. I latched onto that one partly because it was so darn simple. Like, okay, I get that one. I don't have to have a PhD in this subject in order to understand if I feel better, I get better results. I get that one. That's easy. I can handle that one. And what's cool about it is how far you can carry it. I mean, are there any limits? I don't think there are.
None.
Literally, how high can you go? That's how high you can go.
It's your imagination, right?
Yeah.
Sure.
Because that's the stopping point. And then you can still go to sleep and ask your angels and guides or the other ETs that are working with you to help you wake up with that higher mind, that higher knowledge too. So you can really, but you have to be intentional. You have to want it.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to, it has to be for fun or else I don't think it will land anymore. I think all of those control methods and all of that stuff, you're seeing it. It's not landing.
Mm. Yeah, that's true. Something also, and I'm thinking in part because of what something you said and something that one of our listeners commented on. Shauna said, I've been told so many times I'm a star child or indigo.
Mm-hmm.
And you use the term star child too. What does that mean to you exactly? What precisely is a star child?
Well, I believe, and again, this is take it with a grain of salt, because I didn't read this. I just know this stuff. And I don't know how I know anything. but basically what's happened is we're evolving into a different species of human. Barbara Marx Hubbard, who was a futurist, who I love, she called this new human Homo universalis. And what that means basically is that we have the capacity to engage on a galactic level as earth beings. Mm-hmm. We, again, are capable of doing telepathy. We are empathic and compassionate beings. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of these children that have come in, and Dolores Cannon had a whole series of ways that she explained the levels and the timelines of people coming in. Mm-hmm. But star childs or indigos, there's certain categories or times that they say. It's like calling them Gen X's or whatever. But I don't know that any of that's, it's just a way to have a conversation. These beings that are coming in, I interviewed this wonderful man on my show on Conscious Business Zone, and he is in constant telepathy with his 3-year-old son. His son hardly speaks. He hardly speaks, but they're totally talking. And so I think the internet is training wheels for that. But that we have to clean up. That's why I was talking about shadow work at the very beginning. Mm-hmm. We have to clean that stuff up so we can actually communicate this way, because if there's still all these scripts running, I'm not good enough or I'm in competition,
right,
that's what's going to be communicated. It's a competition communication instead of straight, pure thought.
Which we see a lot of on the internet. You mentioned the internet. I mean, you can hardly avoid it if you get on the internet. It's just all over the place.
Well, but I think that those people that, okay, so we are in high contrast. We're in polarity. And just like I've mentioned that I think we're like a battery. Battery has positive and negatives. It's just mm-hmm. like a battery. And the earth is like that too. There's a toroidal field around the earth, which is North Pole, South Pole.
Mm-hmm.
And so what's happening is a lot of the newer beings, new consciousness, I won't even say the beings because I don't know star child and indigo and all of that qualifications. But a lot of the people are trying to see how to live in zero point, not in the polarity. And the only way you do that is you work on your shadow. And every single contrast you have is an opportunity to see what's sticky there still.
Mm-hmm.
What works, what's still there wanting to talk to you.
That's a good thing too. Got a couple of comments to want to share. First of all, Debbie G was able to poke in and say hello to everybody. She said, look at the beautiful panel, and she loves the thought that you were sharing there just a moment ago. In fact, she even added her own thought. She said, let's be in compersion, and a word she introduced to us last week, or celebration of each other. Which is pretty cool. And also, you got a fan here. Saf stepped in and said, hey, guys. One love, Kathy Guru, the best publicist in the world.
Thank you, dear. So, but I think what we're seeing is the opportunity to create at such a high level in these new kids, no matter what age group they are. I mean, when Rita or I say that we are psychic or whatever, that's like a given for these new kids. They and empathy, empathic. I mean, when we were growing up and we felt everything around us, and it was like, is this mine or is it theirs? What do I do with it?
See how that's confusing. I mean, seriously, I could see that.
Yeah. Well, you have to learn how to deal it. What?
There wasn't a rock big enough to hold at that age. There really wasn't. And nobody understood, like, in my family, growing up in a very Italian Catholic family, just thought I was a miserable child. Like, you know, they had no idea the sensitivity, the level of sensitivity. I could come out of my body very easily, go into my mother's, help her, then come back out. And it took such a toll. It was so hard for me. If I wasn't into sports, I don't know, you know, what would have happened, because I really feel like that was like the saving grace. Because when you're that now, the kids that come in like that, now I'm helping kids, you know, coming to me going, I don't know what to do with this kid. And I'm going, oh, he's an empath. Yeah, he just feels everything around them. So we're mm-hmm. going to get a nice big sandbox and let him play in it, you know? Just go to Lowe's and get a shitload of sand and throw him in it. You know, get the biggest rock you could find and let him sit on it.
That's right. Well, yeah, I mean, these people, because that's why they're so capable of doing other things than we are.
Yeah.
And I mean, and you'll hear people, parents of young kids, oh, I'm so worried about the devices. If you look at the devices and the interaction and think, okay, that's just stepping stone to the, to being able to just talk, then it's not that scary. It's not that, irresponsible or whatever.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's funny too, because I've been hearing a lot of stories over the years that I've been doing this podcast from people like you, Rita, from Linda, from others who have been on the show talking about what it's like dealing with, having abilities that are not considered to be normal human abilities. And I mean, I was in the blissful ignorance of this all the time that I was growing up. I had no, I mean, this sounded like something that was out of a sci-fi movie. It didn't sound like anything real. And to hear people telling me that they were really experiencing it, it's like, oh my God, how would I react to that? And I don't even know how I'd react to that. It just, it was so foreign to me, but it's also been very interesting because I can kind of put myself into your place. I can kind of imagine Rita. I can kind of imagine Kathy, what it could have been like if I had had that experience, if I had been, you know, finding myself, you know, kind of wondering, am I crazy? You know, I'm seeing things that other people aren't seeing. Doesn't that mean I should be in the loony bin? I can kind of imagine what that would feel like. So, you know, you have my sympathy, but there's still that piece of me that says, wow, wow. It's just amazing to me.
Well, I have to say I was really lucky. I have a team that has grown since I've grown up, but I had a team of four beings that I think I found out later are Arcturians. Mm-hmm. Were always with me. And so I could count on them. I would trust them and the information I got from them more than I would trust the humans.
Okay.
Yeah. So I was really guided. I still am very guided. I am so lucky. I still am learning trust, even though all of that.
Well, aren't we all, honestly?
Yeah. Yeah, that's part of that shadow piece that, oof, tough one. Tough.
Yeah. You know, it's kind of like the old adage about how do you eat an elephant? If you try to swallow the elephant, you're just going to choke to death. But if you just eat him one little bite at a time, you can eventually eat the elephant. It just takes a while is all.
I wouldn't have even thought elephant.
That's a stretch a little bit.
I look at the elephant and I go, he's going to eat me in a sec. I could choke in his mouth.
That's funny.
It's true. It could work either way. I mean, this is, can you imagine what the elephant is thinking? You
know? This is beyond, right?
That's great. Well, I'm very optimistic about what's happening. I may be in a different reality than some of the other people, but I'm very optimistic. I see beautiful creations coming out now. I see people sharing their gifts and being in their power, just like Saf was here.
Mm-hmm.
And their stories and their capacity to share honestly with high integrity. And they had those experiences so they could help others through it. And they're showing up like these heroes and beacons of light. It's just a remarkable time. It's just a remarkable time.
It really is.
I have to agree with you because that's part of what my experience has been doing the podcast. I've gotten to meet some just remarkable people who have opened me up to stuff that, you know, 20 years ago, I would have said, yeah, right. That sounds too woo-woo for any reality. But now it's like, whoa, this is pretty cool stuff I'm picking up. And I only am getting it from doing the podcast. So I mean, I'm just grateful to everybody who is willing to share what they have been learning and experiencing along the way. And it's always amazing how, no matter how diverse or even divergent someone else's experience is from my own, I still learn some great stuff every single time.
Because we're one.
Sure.
We are.
We're one consciousness all split into all these little pieces so it can have more sandbox time.
More sandbox time.
It is. But Walt, what I just want to compliment you about your uplifting attitude, that you really are bringing things through and showing people how joy and happiness and looking for the good is the path, is the path to attracting what they want in their life. I really want to compliment you because it's, you know, you're having fun, but you're also showing people that that's the way to be.
Well, I think that's what happens, isn't it? As we learn stuff, as, I mean, the thing that, the big takeaway, I mentioned this on your show yesterday, the big takeaway from Abraham Hicks for me was you just have to raise your vibration. Don't worry about anything else. Just raise your vibration and you'll be fine. And I can get that one. I understand that one. And just by applying that, well, first of all, I bring people like you into my life. And second of all, it's easier for me to be that kind of person you just described. Kathy, I swear to God, if you had met me 20 years ago, there is no way you would have described me that way. Mm. Okay. Not even close. Mm. But I learned it. I learned it over time. I learned it through doing the podcast. I learned it from talking to people like you. Yeah. And I think what really happens is you learn enough stuff that you really needed that just comes to you because you attracted the fact that you needed it and it came into your life and you paid attention to it. But it's just, you finally get to the point where you just feel like you can settle into your own skin.
Yeah.
Okay. So you just said you just attracted the da 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 da. I believe that your soul, there's a whole thing going on that we don't see. We're like on a chessboard. There in the old Star Trek, there was Spock used to play James Kirk on a plexiglass chessboard that was
called a 3D chess. Yeah,
but it was like five layers up.
Yeah,
it was really different. Anyway, that's us.
Mm.
And there's something going on up here and we're down here. And so the thing is that you gotta know that you were guided, even if you took a left when you should have taken a right.
Mm-hmm.
You
often
come back to the, it just would have taken a little bit longer, but that you're being guided to this just delightful expression and your vibration of you being, excited about it and joyful about it.
Well, so much more fun. Let's be perfectly honest. This is a whole lot more fun than what I was 20 years ago. I mean, we're not even in the same ballpark. We're talking about way up here in terms of fun. This is not a difficult thing to compare.
Well, but all I was saying is that this is the faster route. Mm. And that's why I was trying to bring it up for the show, for the people watching the show, for anyone who's a beginner in this, to see what you're doing and to see how much fun, make it a game. That's what Esther and Jerry Hicks would do for manifestation. They would, they did stuff like pretending how much if they could spend $500,000 a day or $5,000 a day or something. And and so they just pretend, how do I spend it all?
Yeah, the checkbook game, I think they call that one.
Yeah.
That's a fun game. My wife Louise and I, we didn't play it over a series of days. We played it all in one evening. We pretended like we were going through one day after another every 3 minutes or so. And it was amazing to us how quickly we got to the point where we couldn't think of anything else to spend the money on.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean,
taking a while.
You just keep building up, you know, those deposits very quickly and you're up into the millions. It's like, okay, well, I bought the house. We bought the vacations. We bought everything. What else is there to buy?
Oh, okay. Centers for people all over the world.
Well, yeah, we started doing stuff like that.
Yeah.
We're inventing like new kinds of business situations and so forth. Yeah. Cause I mean, you know, those numbers get big enough and they just kind of blow your mind.
Yeah. that fun? But that's what I think, that right now people are really focused on abundance, prosperity, all of the things that they may have fears about for law of attraction, when abundance is at every level. Mm-hmm. The prosperity, money is just one part of it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Interesting you should say that, too, because money was something I focused on as a topic rather than, well, I mean, I did want to get more money. I was actually getting less of it, so that's probably why I wanted more of it. But I was interested in it as a topic for many, many years. Mm-hmm. So it's interesting to hear you say that it's much less than it was, because it certainly is much less for me.
Well, it's more about a holistic viewpoint of your life. Mm. I mean, I think that before people were looking at aspects, and it might have also been the way society was. Mm-hmm. But the internet and us being able to watch any movie we want tonight, yep, and watch any conversation like this all day long, we could, mm-hmm, be watching people talk like this. I mean, you're exposed to so much more right now to give you a chance to see what resonates.
It's true. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's very true. And it's exciting.
We're so blessed.
When you think about what you, yep, knew and what you experienced when you first started out in the business that you're in, the 21 years or so that you've been doing this special kind of marketing, when you think about where you were at and what your mindset was and so forth, how has that evolved over the years through the experiences you've had?
Well, before I started this business, I'll back up a lot. I ran a clothing store. I was the first woman in the U.S. to own a men's clothing store.
Oh my, wow.
So it was haberdashery. So, like Brooks Brothers kind of clothes.
Oh, wow.
And I used to go to New York twice a year, and the men, old Jewish men didn't know what to do with me, if they should tell dirty jokes around me or put their arms around me. And anyway, so that's, I started out, really out of the box doing things. Then I ended up in a divorce with a 5-year-old child and had to start all over at 40. Mm-hmm. So all of a sudden I ended up after a few jobs running a division of Arthur Anderson.
Oh my.
The Change Enablement Group. I had 80 people under me.
Wow.
And I worked there, and I really realized that I loved the consulting side, but I don't have a business degree. Anyway.
Apparently that didn't get in the way. So, you know, that's something.
But, what we did in the Change Enablement Group was, it was mergers and acquisitions, mm-hmm, online learning, and HR.
Okay.
The mergers and acquisitions were when, two cultures had to merge. Mm-hmm. And a lot of operating systems had to change. So it worked at when Chipotle was bought by McDonald's. I was on that team. Oh, I was on the team when Graphic Packaging, which is Coors, was bought in 4 other locations. Mm-hmm. So I got out of Arthur Anderson way before the collapse of the organization. And I got out because I could see that we weren't really allowed to do the best solution. We had to, people hired big accounting firms and consulting firms like that if they wanted and their agenda supported.
Uh-huh.
Yes. Arthur Anderson says to do this.
Right.
And, and whereas a little consulting firm like me has to have results.
Yeah. Hey, say, what an idea.
Yeah. So when I started, I was still very much in a consulting mindset, corporate, hiding my superpowers, no, using them all the time, but hiding them to the client. And I remember one of my first this was probably my third year of being in business. I worked with this coach and we published his book. It was my first book we published as a company. Mm-hmm. And I came into his office. It was a Friday. I was really overtired. And I sat down. We were working on his marketing plan for his book launch. And I said, they want me to tell you da, 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 da. And he looks at me and goes, who are they? Oh my God.
Oops.
I'm out of the bag. and so I'm like, I don't know. I don't know who they are, but they're always right. Well, that's the truth of it.
I love that.
And, well, it's the truth. So I really had to watch when I let it out. What I was doing, but people knew, and people know when your energy kind of stirs things up and rearranges it, and that, just let her do it. She knows what she's doing.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
They don't know what you're doing. I mean, I worked at this one company, the one that we went from 150,000 to a million in 1 year in Denver. And the owner would say, okay, we're having a meeting. What am I talking about?
Wow. Yeah.
We do that once a week. And I was there for 3 years.
Wow.
Twice a week, 2 days a week.
Very cool.
Yeah. So much fun. I mean, when you get something that rocks and rolls, and those people, that was a fascinating project because it was manufacturing and very hierarchical. I mean, any manufacturing environment, if you've ever been in it, the engineers do this and the and that was actually they even had unions.
Oh wow, yeah. Okay.
But they all it was like this dance and we were all dancing together and so that's why I love creating things like that. I love creating something out of nothing and then fusing it.
That's very cool. Well, this has been a great visit and I really appreciate you by, taking the time to share all your stuff and so forth. I know Rita's got this big grin that's been on her face the entire show.
Oh, Kathy, such a pleasure to meet you.
Oh, good. Yeah. Well, it's time to play.
Okay.
Time to party.
Well, before we get to play, I got to do a couple pieces of business. First of all, Kathy, if somebody wants to reach out to you, how do they reach Kathy Mason? You got to tell people how to find you.
Oh, okay. My website, which really needs some work, is masonworksmarketing.com. If you find me on Facebook, it's Kathy Mason Love is my personal profile. And then from there, you can probably find all my other pages. I'm very active in a bunch of groups and I'm helping Spirituality Gone Wild.
Yay.
I will have my own show on here, but, I do have the Conscious Business Zone twice a week on my personal page.
Very cool. So,
and I've been doing it over 2 years and it's just like you, Wald. I love it. I get to meet really cool people. Although for the first year, they were all my friends. I hardly interviewed anyone I didn't already know.
Mm-hmm. Well, then you started to branch out. That was a good thing.
Yeah, that's 100 change agents.
Yeah, no kidding, right?
Wow.
And also for people who want to reach out to Rita, actually, somebody actually posted about that in the chat. Best way to reach Rita is through the LOA Today app. Send it because you can actually contact Rita that way. You can contact all the co-hosts through the LOA Today app. So that's the easy way to do it. Rita, if they don't seem to have the app because they haven't taken the time to download it, how do they reach out to you directly?
You can probably the best way to reach me is email spaceofgracehealing at Gmail.
Mm-hmm.
I have a website, spaceofgracehealing.com. But if they want to reach me quicker, they can do email or, you know, text me because I get reachable that way as well.
Very good. All right. Well, thank you guys. This has been a great way to end the week. This has been wonderful. So thank you very much for the time that you gave. And thank you to the live streamers who were contributing because that was just wonderful. But especially thank you to all of our podcast listeners, the hundreds of you, because without you, we wouldn't have a podcast. And boy, you guys make it so much more fun to do these shows. So much more. I can't tell you how much. So anyway, we'll see you all next time here on LOA Today. Goodbye, everybody.